Let's read together Joel chapter 2, verses 18 through 32. In the second half of chapter 2, we have a turning point here in Joel's prophecy. Up until this point, the emphasis was on desolation and devastation for Israel. Now the emphasis will be on deliverance and blessing for Israel. Let's begin by reading verses 18 through 27. Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, "Behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations, but I will remove far from you the northern army and will drive him away into a barren and desolate land, with his face toward the eastern sea and his back toward the western sea. His stench will come up, and his foul odor will rise, because he has done monstrous things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Do not be afraid, you beasts of the field, for the open pastures are springing up, and the tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame." Let's begin with some background notes. Here in the middle of chapter 2, we have a turning point in Joel's prophecy, from desolation and devastation for Israel to deliverance and blessing for Israel. Chapter 1 concerned a literal plague of locusts that invaded Israel. It was described by Joel in terms of an invading army. Chapter 2, on the other hand, concerned a literal army that would invade Israel in the future. And it was described by Joel in terms of an invading locust plague. Now, we saw that there was an historical aspect to this prophecy in reference to the day of the Lord. That is, there was a partial fulfillment when the Assyrians invaded the land in the 8th century BC and when the Babylonians invaded the land in the 6th century BC. But most of the prophecy of Joel concerning the day of the Lord is still future and awaits to be fulfilled in the end time. At that time, in the future, there will be deliverance for the nation of Israel from all her enemies, and blessing will come on the land and on the nation. Obviously, that time has not yet come to pass. We read of this blessing and deliverance to come to Israel in the future in the verses before us. That brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points for this second half of Joel chapter 2. Doctrinal point number one: there will be material blessing and deliverance for Israel in the future. There will be material blessing and deliverance for Israel in the future. Verses 18 and 19 once again. Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, "Behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations." We don't believe that these prophetic verses and what follows is to be spiritualized to the church today. No, this refers to the literal land of Israel and the literal nation of Israel in the future. But you say that means the Jews have to return to their homeland. And that means that there must exist a state of Israel. That's right. And all this has come about within the last 100 years. But there's more to come. The Jews scattered around the world will continue to return to Israel as we get closer to the future day of the Lord and the Lord's return. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. And the productivity of the land, mentioned here in verses 18 through 27 that we just read here in Joel chapter 2, the productivity of the land will continue to increase. You know, in the 20 years that I've been leading Holy Land tours, we've actually seen the land of Israel literally become more productive in this short time. And slowly but surely, the early and the latter rains of verse 23 are returning to the land. But all of this is just a foretaste to the material blessing and deliverance for Israel in the future. Now, what about verse 20? But I will remove far from you the northern army and will drive him away into a barren and desolate land with his face toward the eastern sea and his back toward the western sea. Sometime in the future, there will be a major invasion of Israel by a northern army. Is it Syria? Is it Iraq? Is it Russia? We can't say for sure, but one thing we know for sure is that the Lord will rescue and deliver Israel because they are His people and Israel is His land. Verse 18. Now it looks like the invading army will be driven into the Judean wilderness, facing the Eastern Sea or Dead Sea, with their backs to the Western Sea, that is the Mediterranean Sea. This sounds a lot like what we read in Ezekiel 38 and 39 concerning the invasion of Israel by Gog, the prince of Rosh. This invasion also sounds a lot like what we read about in Daniel chapter 11, verses 40 through 45. Now, is the Ezekiel 38 and 39 invasion the same invasion as the Daniel 11 invasion? I lean toward the position that they are two separate invasions, but close enough in time that they could be considered the former and latter phases of an invasion from the north. The former phase would be the invasion of the king of the north in Daniel chapter 11. The latter phase would be the invasion of the prince of Rosh, or Russia, in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Now, historically, the well-known deliverance of Jerusalem from the Assyrian invasion of Sennacherib in 701 BC was but an illustration of the future deliverance of Israel from the northern army in the end times. There will be material blessing and deliverance for Israel in the future. Doctrine or teaching point number two, there will be spiritual blessing and salvation for Israel in the future. There will be spiritual blessing and salvation for Israel in the future. Verses 28 through 32. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Joel is known as the prophet of Pentecost because of this passage. These verses were quoted by Peter on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 21. Now the big question. Was Joel's prophecy completely fulfilled at Pentecost? Was it partially fulfilled? Well, it was certainly not completely fulfilled at Pentecost for the following reasons. Number one, verse 28 here in Joel 2 says that it will come to pass afterward. After what? After the material blessing and deliverance that we just read about in verses 18 through 27. And that's certainly in the last days, as we've seen. Number two, the signs of verses 30 and 31 here in Joel 2 did not happen at Pentecost. but remain until the end times. And number three, in Acts chapter 2, Peter never said what was going on was a complete fulfillment of the Joel 2 prophecy. He said, this is that, or this is what Joel prophesied. I'm reading Acts 2, verse 16. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then comes the quote of the Joel 2 prophecy. In other words, Pentecost was an illustration or foretaste of what it will be like when Joel's prophecy will be fulfilled in the last days. Now, one other possibility is what's called the dependent fulfillment view, meaning that if the nation of Israel had repented at the time of Pentecost, then the Joel 2 prophecy would have been fulfilled at that time. But because the nation did not repent, but rather continued to reject her Messiah, the Joel 2 prophecy awaits to be fulfilled in the end times. I tend to favor this view at the present time. In any case, in the future, many Jews will turn to the Lord for salvation. Verse 32, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. This remnant is the all Israel that will be saved according to Romans 11, 26. The Jews coming to Christ today are only a foretaste of what's to come in the future. There will be spiritual blessing and salvation for Israel in the future. Now, what about practical application? Let the Lord restore your locust years. Let the Lord restore your locust years. Verse 25, so I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. The point of this verse in context is that when blessing will come to Israel in the future, the years that have been lost and wasted because God had to discipline his people, all these years will be restored in blessing. You know, this is great application today for the believer and the unbeliever. I once used this verse as my text for a sermon that I gave at a service in a state prison. I told these men that even though they had wasted and ruined some of the best years of their lives, if they would just turn now to the Lord, he would not only save them, but restore to them the years that the locusts had eaten, and he would now bless them. Maybe you're here this morning as an unbeliever or believer, and you know that you've wasted a lot of years and ruined your life in some way, and God has had to deal with you, and you have reaped what you have sown. Listen. Turn back to the Lord now and walk with him. He can restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. Your life can still be a blessing in many ways. Let the Lord restore your locust years.